are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, September the 21st, and another one of our almost legends, this time Kelly Trepuka. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast while we wait for Pistons basketball. Wait, patiently waiting for Detroit basketball to return. But today we're going to be talking conference finals. AD comes through on Sunday night. And like I said, the Almost Legends series, the second installment, which Brother Brian started last week with Jerry Stackhouse. Part two, coming up, Kelly Trepuka, some of those players that maybe fell through the cracks a little bit over the Pistons organization. Not talking about the guys necessarily in the rafters, but maybe the next level, of players. And we'll revisit some of these almost fantastic, maybe sometimes very good, maybe just good careers in the red, white, and blue. We're also going to have a little taste of Mock Draft Monday a little bit later. And still looking for you guys to stand for your man for the draft pick that you want the Pistons to make at number 7 or maybe a trade up or trade down. So give me a call on the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Tell us who you think the Pistons should be drafting in mid-November when the NBA draft finally comes along. And we will play those recordings on the show. A minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that. Tell us who you are, where you're from, who you want the Pistons to take, and why. Opening up the phone lines for you guys. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at that handle, Locked On Pistons. And also check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But it is another Lions loss Monday, as you are, I'm sure, well aware by now. It is officially cider mill season, folks. Get those donuts. Go all in on the cider, maybe your fantasy, maybe some bets. I don't know what you were into, but definitely shouldn't be the Lions. Matt Patricia is a gift to us all in 2020. We can wash our hands of this season right here, right now. Just do it. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your family, for your loved ones, for your mental health, all that good stuff. We should have a couple of nice weekends weather-wise, hopefully, before the cold comes here in Michigan. Lockdown will probably be back relatively down the line, not to be super pessimistic about 2020, but that's kind of where we're at with this year in general. But some quality hoops continued over the weekend down in Orlando, Florida, in the NBA's bubble, as Boston gets into the series. It's a series once again in the Eastern Conference Finals, getting the win on Saturday night with the return, the playoff debut of Gordon Hayward. Boston now trails Miami 2-1. That series is off until Wednesday night. I think I incorrectly passed along on Friday's show that, they've probably just got this schedule messed up as I looked at it. But no, it's messed up, but it's intentionally messed up, as no Eastern Conference Finals games from now until Wednesday. Tonight, there is no NBA basketball. And then Tuesday, the Western Conference Finals return once again with the Lakers up 2-0 there. And like I said, game 4 of Miami and Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals is set for Wednesday, and then go on alternate days after that. ESPN has the Eastern Conference Finals, TNT has the Western Conference Finals, and since it would have lined up otherwise that the East would have been playing on Monday night against Monday Night Football on ESPN, obviously they can't make that happen. They have both of those entities. I'm not sure why they didn't just have them move back a day and play that on Tuesday and then back to the West on Wednesday. I'm hypothesizing that maybe they tried to balance out the calendar, given that the East started quicker than the West, and they didn't want to have Miami or Boston sitting around waiting for the Western Conference Finals to end. Ironically, however, there's a real good chance, maybe most likely chance, that the calendar might have naturally balanced out itself if the East went long and the West went short, But now you've kind of introduced a variable where you might end up flipping the whole thing and screwing yourself over and having it get worse instead of it kind of naturally taking care of itself with the West or with the East a couple games ahead, but it might be a couple games longer. So it might have kind of taken care of itself naturally, and now you're screwing it up more and going to have it shift around where the East will now finish last, and you'll have possibly the Lakers, if they finish a sweep or a five-game series win, might be sitting around late waiting. So interesting that the NBA might have outthunk themselves with this one. But more about those LA Lakers, obviously the big story from the weekend. Took care of business on Friday night, but as I kind of figured, I don't know about you guys, but game one after the Nuggets had that real tough series, kind of figured LA would take care of business there. Things got serious on Sunday as, getting into must-win territory. You know these Nuggets are not afraid of falling down. We've seen them come back from 2-3-1 series deficits so far here in the playoffs, but the Lakers were leading throughout most of this one up until about the mid-third quarter, and the Nuggets went on a run. Another strong game, of course, from Nikola Jokic. He was outstanding in the fourth quarter, going one-on-one against Anthony Davis offensively and making it happen. A couple of that tip of the Murray three-point air ball and then the jump hook there as well. Jokic, man, just a special player, a treat to watch him play. Murray again with 25 as well. Michael Porter Jr. with a big game, including a late three, 15 points for him. But the story, of course, Anthony Davis knocks down the three-pointer at the buzzer to give the Lakers the 105-103 lead. LeBron James was terrific early on, but struggled in the fourth quarter. He finishes with 26-11-4. Anthony Davis with 31-9-7 of 7 from the free throw line. And, of course, the big three-pointer that he knocked down. Late three from Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, former Piston, with a big late three. And also Rondo, who played another good floor game, 9 assists for him, but he knocked down a big late line drive three that was a big one. Green, Caldwell Pope, and Rondo, when things kind of stalled for the Lakers, hit some big shots. And then Anthony Davis, I believe he had the 10 last points for the Lakers, kind of going shot for shot with Nikola Jokic at the end of the game. Davis, I mean, it's an interesting one. I got a bit of a take on Davis. I'm not the first person to say things along these lines, but like a little bit underwhelmed with him at times, even when he had the big third quarter where he was kind of carrying the Lakers there and then finish off strong as well after kind of a quiet first half for him. It's like you watch and you think he's like pulling up for, you know, mid-range or even long twos a little too often. I don't know. It's weird. There's something about him, and I was talking to Brian about it a little while ago, and maybe that the understatedness of Anthony Davis is probably part of it. Even when he does something spectacular, the big shot obviously is one thing, but he's making big plays earlier in the game and not really celebrating at all. Kind of a Tim Duncan lunch pail thing to him, but so big and so good and so just an outstanding player that it just makes it look a little easy, which and no emotions kind of involved in it, which, you know, something to be said that positively, that's kind of the Kawhi Leonard approach to things. But it leaves me a little bit wanting sometimes. I don't quite know why, but we'll see how it all transpires. Of course, he got cooked a little bit defensively, but Nikola Jokic does that to a lot of folks, so we're not going to hold it too far against Anthony Davis. It's strange, you know, as far as the defensive numbers, I know that David Locke, founder of the network, likes to point out that the Lakers' advanced stats and defensive rating is actually better with Anthony Davis off the court than on the court. You can fact check me on that, but that is his famous stat to throw out there. And really, especially tonight and in the playoffs, and he's so big and so imposing and is active defensively that he is obviously very good on the defensive end, but to me, doesn't really appear Giannis-like, right? Or doesn't appear Kawhi Leonard-like maybe earlier in his career on the defensive end. Or your defensive player du jour, whether it was Tony Allen back in the day, and of course Pistons fans are screaming into their to their phones about Ben Wallace and Dennis Rodman and those types of players. But yeah, I don't put him on the Rudy Gobert level night in and night out. But Anthony Davis, truly a special player, but it's interesting that maybe a great fit with LeBron James because he kind of pulls a lot of the dirty work second and third quarters, makes a lot of production, scores a lot, and then maybe LeBron takes the car home there and drives him home at the end of the night. But obviously LeBron struggled in the fourth. AD took over late and hits the big shot to propel Lakers to the win. It's interesting because, I mean, they've had 2 5-game sweeps basically of Portland and Houston. So, and you figure they'd win game one. Denver had to kind of respond here in game two. So really the first game that I've had them on, I've watched a lot of these Lakers games, but you're kind of doing other things a lot of times. This was the first one that I was kind of really zeroed in for a quarter and a half here. And interesting to see. It doesn't appear to be a championship type team right now, but of course you'd put your money on them if you had to pick one of these teams. But man, Boston and Miami, two teams playing hard. I definitely wouldn't count out either of those teams in a finals matchup against the Lakers, if that's indeed what happens in LA, is able to get through. But of course, what a great story with the death of Kobe Bryant, which seems like a million years ago, but is kind of the big story in the NBA this season until everything in the world happened. And it's nice to have the Lakers out here winning and putting the memory of Kobe being Bryant into our faces and bringing it into the spotlight as much as possible in what has been a year like no other in the NBA and society in general. We don't need to remind you about that here. But up next, we're going to get to our Almost Legends series with the great Brian Shook, who's going to tell us about the almost great Kelly Trepuka. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, we got the Almost Legends series coming up momentarily here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks again to Brother Brian for conceiving the idea and executing it as well. But we're looking for your nominees for who else we should talk to. We got a big response from Twitter when the Jerry Stackhouse one went out. But if there's others out there, get in touch with us on the show Twitter page at Locked On Pistons and let us know who should be the next featured in the Almost Legends series. Without further ado, here's this week's report.
Welcome to the second installment of Pistons Almost Legends. Last episode, we talked about the Piston career of Jerry Stackhouse, which was highlighted by a still franchise record 57 points in a game. But whose record did he break? What if I told you... sorry, that's for a different sports retrospective show. Would you be surprised to find out the record was previously held by a player the Pistons drafted in 1981? And no, it isn't the person you would think of from that Detroit draft class. On this episode of Pistons Almost Legends.
Forward from the Detroit Pistons, it's number 7, Kelly Trepuka.
After finishing at the bottom of the division, the Detroit Pistons had the number 2 pick in the 1981 NBA draft and used that pick to select future Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. But because of the savvy front office, led by third-year general manager Jack McCloskey, they also held the number 12 pick. With that selection, the team chose 3-time All-American Kelly Trepuka out of Notre Dame. Going from Notre Dame to a Detroit professional sports franchise wasn't foreign to the Trepuka lineage, as Kelly's father, Frank, had played quarterback in South Bend in college and played 1 year for the Detroit Lions, starting 4 games in 1949. Kelly and fellow Piston rookie Isaiah Thomas had an immediate impact on the team as they both made the All-Star team their first season and led the Pistons to 39 wins, an 18-game improvement over the year before. With Trepuka averaging over 20 points a game in his rookie campaign, he finished second behind Buck Williams for Rookie of the Year honors. The following year, Trepuka only played 55 games due to injury, but led the Scotty Robertson-coached Pistons with 26.5 points per game. And on January 29th of that season, Kelly took aim at a Piston record set by Dave Bing almost a dozen years earlier, a feat that would be even more unlikely because it wasn't just the Bulls he was battling that night, as Trepuka talks about in an interview with Pistons.com.
You can actually go back the night before. I had caught the flu somehow, I mean, which is very common in the NBA. When you're much traveling or flying commercial, you get sick. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, but I'm determined to play somehow. So Scotty talked to me before the game and he said, look, you know, do what you can do. I'll try to get you as much rest early in the game to get you out, to get your wind or whatever, and go from there. So game starts and, you know, you kind of just, you know, once the adrenaline kicks in, you just put it out of your mind.
A plan that didn't exactly work out the way Coach Robertson expected because of a hot start for Trepuka.
Scotty says to me, he goes, I got to ride you as long as you can. You're going too good. You know what? He didn't have to say that to me because now I got my second wind. I'm feeling pretty good, even though I'm sweating like crazy, but you know, I'm into the game. I don't want to come out.
By the end of the third quarter, it was apparent something special was happening.
Three with a minute 38 to play, third quarter. Walker Russell. Now to Tom Owens. Owens gives the ball to Trepiuka. Trepiuka long distance. Oh my.
Kelly Trepiuka!
41 for Kelly Trepiuka.
Into the fourth quarter, and the records just started falling like his shots that night.
Trepiuka has a career high of 52. It ties the building record of 52. The team record is 54.
With Bing's team record 54-point mark in his sights, Trepiuka kept gunning.
Trepiuka into Benson and back to Thomas. 2:15 to go in the game. Give to Trepiuka. Now Benson against Greenwood. Off to Thomas. Back to Benson. Back to Thomas. 10 on the shot clock. Into Trepiuka. 54 for Trepiuka. It matches a Piston record.
Having tied the team record, point guard Isaiah Thomas was looking to get the ball to Kelly in the low block.
Moves on Daly, gets to a stop, 5 on the clock. Kelly Trepiuka. Oh, 56.
What a roll he is on, Joe.
Having just broken the Pistons' record in the original flu game, Trepiuka looks back on that night fondly.
That was my night for one night, and it was a great experience. You know, I still talk about it to this day, the fact that after realizing that I had broken the legendary Dave Bing's record.
A Piston record that would stand for almost 20 years until Stack surpassed it. Trepiuka would go on to play the next three seasons in Detroit under new coach Chuck Daly, making the playoffs in each of his last three seasons in Detroit, ending a six-year postseason drought in the Motor City. After the 85-86 season, the Pistons shipped Trepiuka off to Utah in a trade that brought Adrian Dantley to Detroit. Trepiuka would suffer through two subpar seasons with the Jazz, clashing with coach Frank Layden, and young star Karl Malone, seeing his minutes and production drop dramatically. Utah unloaded Trepiuka in a trade to the expansion Charlotte Hornets after the 87-88 season. Kelly was able to reignite his scoring touch as he led the new franchise in scoring their first year in the league. Trepiuka would go on to play two more seasons with the Hornets before retiring in 1991 after 10 years in the NBA. After his playing days, Trepiuka has worked as a color commentator for several NBA teams, including the Pistons in the 90s and 2000s. In 2000, he was inducted into the National Polish-American Hall of Fame and named New Jersey Boys Basketball Player of the Century by the Star Ledger. In 2008, he was included as one of the 50 greatest Pistons of all time and is a member of the Notre Dame Ring of Honor. His athletic lineage didn't stop with him, as two of his sons were standout college athletes, with one playing two seasons in the NFL and the other a professional lacrosse player. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pistons Almost Legends.
Thanks to Brian for another great Almost Legends series. Again, check in with us on social media if you want to nominate another player that you want to hear some more about. Brian coming with the nuggets, the stuff that we didn't know about a lot of these guys. Trepiuka, I love the clip there of Walker Russell and Kent Benson, a couple of candidates for their own Almost Legends series, as well as some old names being thrown out there. I hope some of our older listeners maybe appreciate these walks back into time at times that we're going to do. You know, we'll hit all eras of Pistons basketball, but also the newer listeners to kind of get educated about this team's history. It's tough sometimes, right? We get caught up in the moment, and we hear about and we know about these things that are happening with these last 10 years. It's hard to remember a time, but yes, this is a very proud franchise and was a very proud franchise and still is if you go deep enough into the history books. But we'll look to the future here in a second, talk about Mock Draft Monday. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. New and improved Built Bars are everything that I have told you about and more. They live up to the billing. So, so good. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp are the 6 new flavors. Throw those in with the 12 OGs, including raspberry, banana bread, double chocolate, coconut, all great stuff. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. And if all that doesn't sound good enough, it's hard to believe, but these are healthy. Built bars are great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet, great for all your low carb diets. The macros and flavor profile and macro profile that you are looking for. They've reset the promo code for this relaunch. So you can go ahead and use the promo code one more time. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, use promo code Locked On for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so this last segment is kind of in the interest of fairness. We've been stealing articles from James Edwards III of The Athletic, get the subscribe going and kind of curate some of the content sometimes. We hope that it helps drive up the awareness and also maybe the subscription numbers for The Athletic. But now, as you may or may not know, in the Detroit market, the Detroit Free Press and Detroit News are also paid websites as well. It used to be that you could get the articles over and over again for free, but now they are paid websites, $10 a month, and they got a promotion running. I don't know if that's still going or not, but you get the first 3 months for $3 total before the $10 a month start. I am a subscriber for the Detroit News, even though I was a freelancer for them too. I didn't even ask for a free one because wanted to support my local journalism. I do also have a subscription to the Detroit Free Press, although between you and me, maybe I don't pay for that one, just another person's code. But anyway, I do pay for The Athletic, I do pay for the Detroit News, and do read the Detroit Free Press articles as well. Apologies to the Freep, but they never paid any of my bills, so I won't pay any of theirs. But anyway, so we're going to steal a little bit from the Free Press today. Omari Sankofa, the fine young new beat writer for the Free Press for the Pistons. And we had him on shortly after he started the new gig, doing a great job as he's settling in back home here in Detroit. But he did a hypothetical. I think recently he did his 1.0 mock draft, and the Pistons sitting at number 7. He had these players coming off the board before the Pistons picked. So Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and Yeka Okongwu, Denny Avdija, and Tyrese Haliburton. So assuming that those top six are off the board, young Amari went with the point guard, did scenarios for what the Pistons could do to fill the needs that are on the roster. So he broke down the point guard tier, would be three players that might be good possibilities there. Of course, Killian Hayes, as the roar from Pistons fans goes up loudly, Kira Lewis Jr., and of course Cole Anthony of North Carolina as well. Breaks down those guys, and then he talked about if they wanted a non-point guard, you could go with Devin Vassell of Florida State, Isaac Okoro of Auburn, and Aaron Nesmith of Vanderbilt as well. Also broke down the high floor players who could help next season, kind of guys who have NBA-ready skills or NBA-level possible production, rookie year type stuff. Of course, Obi Toppin featured on that list along with Devin Vassell, once again, and Isaac Okoro. And then Omari talks about the boomer bust prospects with star potential, talking about Oleksiy Pokusevski, out there in Europe, and also RJ Hampton, who played in New Zealand instead of playing college ball this past year. So I want to refer you guys to check out that story on Freep.com. Get yourself subscriptions. He breaks down all those players, does a great job with it. So we've talked a lot about different people's takes on this draft. And Omari, who is probably sourced up pretty well at the Memphis front office because he was working for The Athletic covering the Grizzlies. So maybe he's got a little bit different perspective of some of the other draft folks that we've been reading. And maybe he has got some other sources around the league. And, of course, his own viewing of games and what he's hearing about different prospects. So interesting read for you guys. I won't steal any more than that, and I'll refer you guys to check it out at Freep.com. The perfect draft pick for each of the Detroit Pistons' positional needs. Omari published that on late last week on the 17th. So be sure to check that out here on Mock Draft Monday on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Support the local journalism. We need it. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys later.